Strikers. The law firm of Marks, Turner, Richards. Don Velasquez from the same firm. And this morning, before you, we represent the appellant, who is a woman who, sadly, you said, experienced sexual abuse as a child. What is sadder yet is, as an adult, she went to get help from a professional, psychologist, who compounded her difficulties by abusing her associated alleges as an adult, sexual abuse. She wants to bring her, to have her day in court, but given her state of mind, mental health, she's a very, very afraid of the attendant publicity, and so therefore she asked the court, filed a motion, could she sue using the name Jane Doe? And the defendants did not object, and that's a very important fact to be taken into consideration during this whole process. Well, the trial court felt some sympathy with her, but nevertheless, the trial court said, I can't help you out. I have no jurisdiction to follow this procedure, citing 25301, the real party in interest statute. The court had before it, as we had submitted, a number of cases, and one was a federal case, sealed plaintiff versus sealed defendants, a Second Circuit case, in which a pseudonym was allowed. The district court, we believe, misread that case, saying, well, the federal rules are not the same as the Nebraska rule. He was wrong there. He cited Rule 10 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedures dealing with captioning, but the sealed plaintiff case also dealt with the federal corresponding rule, Rule 17, about real party and interest. The court misread that case, as we have maintained, and then we went back to the district court and said, well, there's also Nebraska precedent, not just federal precedent. And we pointed out that in Nebraska civil practice, 5 Nebraska Civil Practice Civil Procedure, Section 618, it says the Supreme Court, referring to this court, has said that a court has discretion to allow a plaintiff to use a fictitious name when the plaintiff is pursuing a sensitive issue. And that text relied on an opinion of this court, Orr versus Knowles. So we went back to the district court with this information, and the court said, well, that's too bad. This is just dicta, in his opinion. And if the court has discretion at all, it only deals with cases like abortion, not generally. And we feel that the court misread that, too. That is the holding. That is the essence of Orr versus Knowles, where you have a sensitive issue, the court has discretion to utilize and provide a suitable a pseudonym by which plaintiff can be protected.
Let me back up just a little bit. You indicated that in this case the defendants did not object use of Doe. Is that correct?
That is correct.
At the trial level, is that correct?
Pardon me?
At the trial level, is that correct?
That's Correct. At the trial level.
Does the record show that the defendants know the actual identity of Doe?
Yes, they do.
Does the record show that?
Yes.
And then when you took your appeal to the Court of Appeals, was there an appearance by the defendants?
No, there was not.
And when you filed your petition for further review, was there an objection filed?
No, there was not.
When you filed your brief in support of your petition for further review, was there an additional brief filed by the defendants?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Rikus,
yeah.
You would agree that the nature of your client's claim is a common law tort claim for a breach of professional responsibility, correct?
That's correct.
Is there any statutory basis in that sort of case for a court to withhold a party's name? In other words, is there express statutory authority for what you are requesting?
I wish there were.
There,
not
so
to
you,
our knowledge, there is not.
All right.
This
so,
whole idea of using a pseudonym in sensitive cases is used around the country. Federal courts, state courts, all over the place. There appear to be no precise rules generally for this subject. I mean, no definitive thing. But there is case law.
So the reasoning at the trial court was if there's a statute that permits anonymity, that's the only way anonymity is permitted in Nebraska. Is that the reasoning
at
the trial
court? I gather that's what he is saying.
All right. And in Nebraska, has Doe or Roe or Anonymous been used in cases that are reported cases?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What the court...
Were those cases that had a statutory authorization to use Doe or Roe?
No. For instance, the Court of Appeals had a case, Anonymous versus
St. John's.
Van Concello.
Oh, okay.
Now, in which the Court of Appeals did not challenge the jurisdiction in that case.
Well, in Anonymous Vasconcelos, there just was no discussion of the use of Anonymous.
There wasn't, but the point here is, if this is a jurisdictional issue, then that Court of Appeals would have dealt with the jurisdiction first, because that's the primary duty of the court to make sure you have jurisdiction.
Which kind of makes us circle back. You're here on a petition for further review because what the Court of Appeals dismissed for lack of a final order.
That's correct.
So, maybe we should discuss the appealability of the order in question.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
We believe that we appealed the district court's ruling, and the day after we filed our brief, the Court of Appeals sent back an order, no final ruling. And we went back again and we showed the collateral order doctrine, which this court has adopted. It was developed by the United States Supreme Court to allow appeals in this kind of situation where it's shown that the order denied her the right of using a pseudonym. That issue is collateral to any other issue here. It doesn't deal with the main substance of her action. And it renders, or would render, the matter unreviewable. Nevertheless, the Court of Appeals said, well, you have to wait until there's a final ruling.
Mr. Rikus, you would agree, wouldn't you, that but for the collateral order doctrine, there is no final judgment?
Yeah.
In other words, you're relying upon the collateral order doctrine for the existence of jurisdiction at this level.
I am relying on that, but I am also relying on the traditional Nebraska approach, which is a substantial right affected in a special proceeding.
And what is the special proceeding that you're claiming?
The special proceeding is that if a court has the inherent power, in this case to use a synonym, but there might be an inherent power on something else, to act, that's not within the Chapter 25. And a special proceeding has been regarded by this court as something outside Chapter 25. So we believe that there are two pillars for this appeal. One, the traditional one under state law, and two, the collateral order doctrine would render an appeal possible here. And we believe that the Court of Appeals made a great mistake in holding otherwise. That would destroy her ability to use a synonym. Can't decide it after, you know, all the damage has been done. That makes no sense.
Is there really a jurisdictional issue here?
No.
The district court has the authority to decide this type of case, doesn't
it? We agree, and we believe that this case should be remanded to the district court to exercise that discretion. The court denied that it had discretion. It said, I don't have any jurisdiction.
You're saying that if the victim has to use and publish her name in the pleadings and to the jury, if it's a jury trial, that this would have a chilling effect upon victims of this type of abuse from bringing actions because they didn't want it public.
I think that that's a good statement. For others in the future, it certainly will affect our client in trying to bring her case to court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Napoli.
Bill Settles from Lance and Dugan and Murray. We did not submit a brief in this case on the petition for further review. I did want to correct...
Before you go further, can you, under our rules, if you haven't filed a brief, and did you file a brief with the Court of Appeals? Or
the case was dismissed by the Court of Appeals on its own motion the day after the appellant's brief was received. So we had not submitted our brief as of the date of the dismissal, Your Honor. The issue here is on the petition for
And did you file anything in response to the petition for further review here?
We did not, Your Honor.
Under our rules, I don't think you get to argue.
Understood, Your Honor. I wanted to be available for questions if the court had it.
Good. Thank you very much. With that, we go to the next case of the day, which is State versus Darnell L. Russell. I am recused from this matter. Justice Wright will preside and give me a moment to leave the courtroom.